Hello and welcome to a special edition, a special series we're kicking off with the Anything But Quiet Time podcast.
Yep.
This is seeing Jesus in our favorite Christmas movies.
Which we've done before, but yeah. You couldn't really see us.
No.
While we were seeing Jesus.
Now it's on YouTube.
In the Christmas movie.
Uh-huh, exactly. So you can obviously watch this. Today we have very special Christmas ornaments because we're doing Jim Carrey's version, the animated A Christmas Carol.
Yeah, that was creepy.
Some of it was.
I think that it was probably in ways... some ways my favorite one.
Oh, it's great. We'll get right into it. But first of all, of course, your shirt.
My shirt.
The cheesy Christian shirt of the week is a Christmas one. It is every family needs a stable foundation, and it is the stable that Jesus was.
Do you understand what that means, though? Do you get it? It's a double entendre. Do you get it?
Yes.
Stable foundation.
Yes.
Because it's Jesus.
The more you explain a joke, the worse that it gets.
I was obviously just milking it sillily.
Sillily.
We'll just move on.
All right. Keep in mind, we picked this Christmas movie to go along with the fact that Scrooge, A Christmas Carol podcast is out. It's available. Yeah. It's four parts. If you're doing any holiday travel, it is perfect to click along. And this one, you know, there were parts that we'll get into about the movie version, the Jim Carrey movie version, but our podcast has parts that very creative liberties.
Yes.
I love it.
And we know, just for instance, the one that you may bring up is Scrooge's relationship with his dad, which I did kind of look that up. It's like, all right, what kind of liberties, creative liberties, ones that add dimension to a story, don't take away from it at all. We know that his dad was abusive, at least that he was not a kind man at all, emotionally abusive, from just the interaction he has with his sister.
Yeah.
When she comes to visit and said, Dad's not like what he used to be, actually asked if he would come home for Christmas, and he said yes. So we kind of get a clue in there, and I know that they take it that much further on the podcast.
Yeah, he visits him in prison on the podcast, and the moment there where Scrooge's life has changed forever as a boy visiting his father in prison, man, it's powerful. It stars Sean Astin. If you want to just get it right to your phone, you can text the word Scrooge to the number 893-893. But as the next 4 weeks, we'll do Christmas movies, and here we are with the Jim Carrey version.
Yeah, we're using this particular version. I don't know if it's my absolute favorite version, because I remember it was 1983, I think, or four, when Disney's Mickey's Christmas Carol came out.
Oh, yes.
Now, this is another Disney version with Jim Carrey.
Uh-huh, right.
But Mickey's Christmas Carol was 20 minutes or so. It was a big deal. The Disney Channel was promoting it, and we watched it, and it kind of creeped me out, even with Pistol Pete being deaf.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's just... Wires, Ebenezer. Anyway, so as a child watching the movie, I loved it, but it also kind of was creepy. And then I'd watch, you know, brilliant portrayals of Ebenezer Scrooge. It's been portrayed over the years by so many different actors. And it is a creepy story, but I'm so glad we're giving the attention that it deserves, because it's profound. And when Dickens created this story, which there's a fascinating movie called The Man Who Created Christmas.
And it's about Dickens himself.
Yes. Right? Yeah. It stars Dan Stevens from a little known show called Downton Abbey. He's also Beast in Beauty and the Beast, but he does a brilliant job of portraying Ebenezer Scrooge and coming up with this tale. And Christopher Plummer is this character in his mind that he's building and trying to figure out what would Scrooge do and think, and what was his background. And that was fascinating. So when we start the movie, though, with Jim Carrey's A Christmas Carol, I think right away you see, just with the children's reaction to Scrooge walking through the streets, I wrote this down. I'm like, what's your reputation? Like, he didn't even say anything to them. They just knew, maybe from past encounters, this is a guy we don't want to mess with.
Get off his lawn.
Get off his lawn. And he also does this thing with the carolers where all he does is walk by and stare them down. He don't really say anything. And they just stop mid-carol, which was not a brilliant singing of the carol, but, you know, they're carolers. And they just stopped, and it made me think that when you're miserable, you want everybody else to feel the same way. And I don't even know that Scrooge knows that he's miserable. I think he's lied to himself so long. He is so in denial, and thank God for Christmas past and present for kind of help ushering him out of that. He's thinks he's content, which he's not, but he's just miserable. And he doesn't want anybody else feeling joy because they're stupid that they think Christmas is a thing anyway.
Yeah.
And Christmas broken down, Christ, Mass, the celebration of Jesus, that's where all of this comes from.
And with the stinginess part of him,
yeah,
when he can't, he has to pay, it's the beginning with Marley's death.
Yes.
And he has to pay the 2 coins and he just can't let them go. And it reminds me of the rich young ruler of Jesus meeting this man that, you know, he's met all the commandments and he's like, what do I do to get into the kingdom of heaven?
Yeah.
And Jesus really just, you know, sees through to his heart because it's not a commandment to give everything we have to the poor, but Jesus saw his heart. So that's what he told him. He said, well, then give everything you have to the poor.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy couldn't do it.
Yeah.
He couldn't separate from it. And that's instantly what Scrooge reminds me of. Yeah. And then he ends up, the coins that are covering Marley's eyes, a dead body's eyes, and he takes them right off to make sure that he balances it out, takes them right off of Marley himself. Also, I will say that before we get into like the Christmas, you know, the progression of all the spirits visiting him, there are glimmers of hope though.
Yeah.
And I love that there's a little bit of that. And you know, it's kind of almost like the juxtaposition of what you said with, if you're miserable, you want everybody else to be miserable. Mm-hmm. Well, Bob Cratchit's the opposite.
Yeah.
And he just wants everybody, and he wants that hope for Scrooge. So even though Scrooge is Scrooge, and it seems like there's no changing him, here's the part where he goes, well, I guess you'll need all of tomorrow off.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, he's still letting Bob Cratchit have Christmas off.
Yeah.
Like, there's still something there.
That is a glimmer of hope.
Like, well, maybe.
It is almost surprising after he just took the 2 coins in such a disrespectful manner.
Right, yeah.
The guy who he, quote, later says is, you were always so kind to me, Jacob.
Yes, yes.
You were a good friend.
You know, and then he denies the charity. There's, you know, the people come to ask for charity, and he just, I mean, absolutely, like, wipes the floor with them and kicks them out. And then, yet he still lets Bob Cratchit off for Christmas. So, I don't know, it kind of reminds me of sometimes we think, you know, you're around that grumpy person, but maybe around Christmas they give you just a little bit of a smirk, and it just kind of felt like that there with Scrooge at the beginning.
And Bob Cratchit, I mean, clearly he's celebrating as soon as you know
he
knew Scrooge was far enough away.
Yeah,
he plays with the kids. Before that even happens, though, Fred, his nephew, isn't given any glimmer of hope. It looks like. I mean, did he ever know his uncle where he wasn't?
Right.
And I'm not entirely certain. I would have to probably go back and think. In the spur of the moment, I'm thinking, how did little sister die? Was it during labor? I'm wondering, because some of the wording is so old English, it makes me think that perhaps that's true.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, Frederick is the result of this beautiful sister that we find out later with Christmas Past that he just loved her.
Yeah.
He loved her heart. And so now this child may be part of the reasoning why he's become even crustier, because perhaps his birth, he connects that to, now I don't have my sister anymore.
It's the reminder, right?
But this faithful nephew, who honestly, I mean, you see it later in the party that he's celebrating with his family. He still loves his uncle.
Yeah, I have a note about that. It's a great lesson for us in one aspect of life.
Well, I don't want to get ahead of it, but I do see him as the faithful relative. We even share this on our radio show. If you've been that person who has been praying for that family member, that friend to come to Jesus, and I see that you're in the character Fred to me.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't given up on his uncle.
Yeah, it's a good lesson. It's a good reminder for us. So we get to Jacob Marley. If you're ready to go there.
Jacob Marley. Wait, can we just, I have to do this before you get to Jacob Marley.
Yeah.
First of all, it's an insane cast. Insane. So my son is a giant fan of the Polar Express. This is done by Zemeckis, who did the Polar Express. You see similarities with the way they crafted and created it. But Jim Carrey plays the role of Ebenezer Scrooge as an old miser, as a man, as a teenager, and as a child. He also does the voices of ghosts past, present, future.
Wow.
And then you have Gary Oldman, who I know you love the Batman series from Christopher Nolan. You know, Gary Oldman, this incredible actor. Not only is he Bob Cratchit, he is also Marley.
Wow, okay. All
which
right.
I find the juxtaposition, speaking of, I like the word juxtaposition. Uh-huh. That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
The person who once was there is played by the person who is there still, Cratchit. And then Robert Wright Penn plays the love interest. Cary Elwes, here's a little Princess Bride trivia. It's fun. Cary Elwes was the guy, As You Wish guy. And Robin Wright Penn was in this as the princess mm-hmm. in The Princess Bride. And they're both in this. Cary Elwes is one of the charity guys. And then Bob Hoskins is Fezziwig. And Colin Firth, and this will wrap up my, I was like starry-eyed.
Sure.
Colin yeah. Firth, the King's Speech, famous British actor, is his nephew.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Yeah. Amazing.
There we go.
So Jacob Marley, first of all, let's just say it freaked me out when the jaw snapped. If you, again, maybe you're watching this and you haven't seen the movie and this yeah. make you want to watch it. But this part, his jaw just like snaps.
It's honestly, I think I've seen movies where that it has a very strong rating because of stuff like that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And this one, I guess, flew by because it's Disney and it's a Christmas Carol. Right. No, this was...
That creeped me out. That really creeped yeah. me out. But it reminds me because I think this is just we don't want to take literal biblical truth from an allegory like this.
Okay.
Even if maybe it's not even meant to be an allegory, but I think we're seeing obviously a lot of biblical principles in
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we don't know exactly what, I mean, we don't get the impression in real life that there are actual people's spirits roaming around.
Right.
Or that based on your lot in life that you have a certain amount of chains, you know, this is just all part of the story. But man, what a tie-in to let's strip off every weight that slows us down mm-hmm. when it comes to sin. Because mm-hmm. that's a Bible verse.
Yeah.
And here comes Marley with his weights and his chains.
Yes.
And he is weighted down by the lot that he lived in life. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that is so good. This is, if we're in Christ, there's not going to be eternal punishment, but it's still a good reminder to strip off all that stuff that yeah. weighs us down.
That's really good. And I don't know if you're still talking about Marley, but in regards to the stuff that weighs him down, did you catch that line where he says, this is what you see right here. This is the equivalent of what you already had.
Uh-huh. Had, yeah. And then there's seven years
before.
Right.
So what is it like 7 years later?
Yeah.
And I thought, well, why would that change? Well, because I think the company that he kept, he put Marley on a bit of a pedestal.
Mm.
And so he kind of, and then he just went further and further. And that's right. the nature of sin anyway, isn't
yeah,
it? You just
true.
Go further and further into darkness until you're, quote, past the point of no return, reprobate.
Yeah.
So.
And that's what it's the outside world seems that Scrooge is, that he's yeah. so far gone. And obviously we find that's not true. But he literally says, woe is me. This is Marley.
Yeah, yeah.
Woe is me. And it's like the parable of the sinner who won't even look to heaven. Mm. Luke 18:13. It doesn't actually use the word woe there in scripture, but it does say, have pity on me. Mm-hmm. And we can choose to see that before, mm-hmm. Like in this life, or we could choose to see that after this life. And woe, that spiritual really definition of woe means grief, anguish, affliction, wretchedness, calamity, or trouble. And Isaiah does use woe is me, and he's talking about what a sinner he is. Mm-hmm. But obviously you have somebody like Marley, and unfortunately, I think a reality of people who die without being in Christ, they find out woe is me.
Yeah.
And what a sobering, sobering thought, and he's kind of ushering that there into the story.
You see, after he's at the window, and Scrooge is now, the blinders are off, if you will, into the spirit world. Mm-hmm. The veil has been lifted, and he sees one person's soul who's in agony, who's weighted down by his past sin, and there is a very alive mother in the cold trying to nurse her baby and keep it warm. And he's saying, I wish I could help you. I wish I could help. Now he's seen the error of his ways.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's this thing, and he's trying to communicate, and then he comes flying at Scrooge, and it's creepy, but at the same time, it's like maybe this is his attempt to try to save this guy from his mortal doom if
right.
he doesn't change.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, that was super powerful, and it's one of those we want to say it again. I think sometimes we assume. I would have assumed, oh, this is a Christmas Carol. I loved Mickey's A Christmas Carol.
Mm-hmm.
My kids can watch this, no problem. And depending on their age, I don't know. I
yeah.
mean, just because it's animated, there's some pretty...
It's heavy. It is heavy.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously a little freakiness on some of that.
Freakiness in
there. So my next notes are actually The Ghost of Christmas Present. So if you have any thoughts on Ghost of Christmas Past.
I do have some thoughts on The Ghost of Christmas Past. So I think it's interesting at one point, and it's at the very beginning when he meets this... I think I read it described as an androgynous spirit because you're like, what is this thing? It looks like a candle.
Yeah, a little freaky.
And Jim Carrey plays it, but it's just like kind of just flickering. And he's like waving about like a flame. But it's troubling to Scrooge, and the brightness of it is troubling. And it does make you think of that. It made me think of the passage in Scripture talking about Jesus being the light of the world, or even that the darkness does not like the light. You know? It does not like the light. And Scrooge, what he says is he goes, do you mind putting on your hat? Well, his hat is the candle snuffer.
The dimmer or whatever, yeah, yeah.
And he looks at him and he basically calls him out on, oh, your worldly hands want to already extinguish the light? You're not ready for this. And he knows he's not ready for this. And the spirit knows that he's not ready for this. But there is something interesting that when, I think the word is upheld, yes. He, with the spirit, and this is the exact word that this spirit of Christmas past says, because he's worried about falling because he's taking him through the air and everything. He said, as long as you are basically tethered to me, you will be upheld. And I thought, wow. So already we have symbolism about the light, which darkness does not like, and the invitation to hold on to me, and you will be upheld. And I just, I really appreciated that. And of course, the past does give us a window into his neglect. His dad was not a good dad. The boys that he recognizes in the carriage, I know every one of them. But he's not with them in the memory. He's alone in the schoolhouse by himself. And then years later, we see him once again alone. I don't know if it's in if it's a college moment or if he's the teacher in that moment. I'm not sure what the movie was suggesting, but he's now an adult and he's walking through the classroom. And that's when he's seen by his beautiful sister and he remarks on her huge heart and her love of him. And Christmas past looks at him and it's like, and doesn't that woman of your, doesn't she have children? Knowing that he has, you know, just the one nephew, but he's bringing all of this up. And he's calling him out when he does cry. What is that on your cheek? Nobody wants to be. I mean, I don't know if you're like this, but my kids, if it's church that I'm in the middle of, or if I'm watching a movie and it just grabs me, they are fascinated when they see their parents cry.
Yeah.
And they just look. And it was last Sunday after church, my son goes, did you really cry? Yes.
Yeah. All right.
But when you get called out on being vulnerable, sometimes that's uncomfortable. And that's kind of what was happening with Christmas past. And but it was setting the tone because he, in order to change, you have to visit all of these stages, not so as that you feel guilty or burdened with that guilt, but that you can grow from it.
Yeah.
Do you see where you screwed up?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's kind of, if you really take a step back, I mean, like the 50,000 foot view, you know, when it comes to the gospel, it's not that we need to go into our past. Like if we're coming to Christ for the first time, like what it means to be a Christian, be saved.
Yeah.
We don't have to go into our past and identify every single thing that we've done wrong and write it down and make sure that I have the list prop. I just have to recognize that I'm a sinner.
Yeah.
And I just have to recognize that my past means that I'm in need of a savior.
Yeah.
And so I just, with your words on that, I mean, that's so true that it's getting him to recognize things that are in the past. And then he's going to obviously see his life now and how it doesn't hold up.
And before he gets to the now, there's something that we don't see. And I would be fascinated. What happened between Fezziwig and Marley? You know, because Fezziwig is this incredible boss filled with joy. Everybody wants to be with Fezziwig. And he meets the girl of his dreams at this dance. And they're both poor, you know, dirt poor. Is it at some point when he realizes she has no dowry, which, by the way, let me make a connection with St. Nicholas, because St. Nicholas is so closely affiliated with Christmas time. But it wasn't that he was just always giving gifts at Christmas time. He helped young women who had no dowry. And that's money that you got from your family that would go straight to your future husband. And so here's this young woman. Her parents have both died. She has no dowry. Could it have been an authentic pursuit of trying to help us find some semblance of future? could have Ebenezer. He fell in love with her. I want to get married. Somewhere along the way, he's like, but we won't survive.
Mm-hmm.
So what can I do? And then somewhere along the way, what took place from his dad and in our podcast, the new one with Sean Astin, it kind of explores that with his dad was crusty about Christmas. And then he kind of carried that over with him.
Right.
Maybe he started getting crusty about that kind of stuff because of things his dad had said along the way or other people.
Yeah, true. But
there was a change between Fezziwig and then he goes to work with Marley.
Yeah. And obviously we know with the history of, you know, yeah. Marley's even spirit, we know what kind of person that he was.
Right.
So we get to the Ghost of Christmas Present. And first of all, in this rendition, the Jim Carrey rendition, he's basically the Burger King mascot. An old English Burger King mascot yeah. is what he looks like.
And he's got the most, in all the other representations, I've always really appreciated his joyful, he almost looks like Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm, yeah, like a younger version of Santa Claus,
he's
yeah.
He's got the creepiest, ha yeah. like, with his psycho
maniacal laugh, yeah.
Oh my word.
So there's a part in it that caught, I think it caught both our ears. He basically, Scrooge was, it's almost like deflecting. It seemed like there's a part where it's like, why are you allowing this to happen with the poor? Like, why, yeah. well, why you let people do that? Mm. And he says something to the effect of, about the men of the cloth, that they don't truly know me, mm-hmm. me or my brothers. Because mm-hmm. the spirit claims to have 1,842 brothers.
Right.
And
which could be angels, if you wanted to translate that.
Sure, sure. There you go. I mean, we're obviously loosely making this an allegory. Right. We don't know what the writers meant, but it's still fascinating, and it's still based on Dickens. It really does remind me of, you know, why does God allow bad things to happen? Mm. And at least when it comes into human will, that really goes to that place where Jesus says, many, many will say on that day, Lord, Lord, I did this in your name. I cast out demons. I did miracles. And he says, away from me, I never knew you.
Yeah.
And so just kind of that acknowledgement that there are people that are claiming, or even, I'll even say doing good things, but they don't truly know the real Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
And it was kind of just a surreal moment of like, that seemed like a very tangible way to approach that in what Scrooge was asking.
Yeah. Well, and it's hypocrisy too on Scrooge's part to be asking such things when at the very beginning of the movie—
He's the guy. He's the guy doing the thing. He's, you know, not helping people.
Yeah. And even when, I don't know if you were going to talk about Tiny Tim. Is that coming up?
I don't think I have anything on Tiny Tim.
Well, you know, that was a point I really liked thinking about, just what is written of Tiny Tim with Dickens, that he wanted the people at church to see his crippled body.
Yeah.
Because he thought, what if it brings them that much closer in their relationship to God? What if it reminds them? What if that could be my purpose, Dad? Yeah. That I could help in some way to remind people that Jesus made the blind to see and the lame to walk.
What an outlook, right?
For a child. And of course, when Bob Cratchit is sharing this, he just starts melting down and crying and just, but then Scrooge right away, there's something about that boy, like,
mm-hmm.
I think it was Scrooge's malady, if you will, was the hurt on the inside. His scars are inside. But he saw what he felt in himself as a child, perhaps in Tiny Tim on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
He's wearing his scars. And Ebenezer Scrooge being from abuse or neglect or taunting or whatever bullying that might have taken place. And for Tiny Tim, it feels like the physical world around him has bullied him because here he is in this crippled state. And
yeah.
so, but he's immediately drawn to him, endeared to him.
Yeah. And he asks if he'll survive.
If he's going to yeah. live. Yeah. And the thing that he says is that he sees, you know, I see a crutch without an owner, that the place where Tiny Tim usually is sitting, it's empty. And he's like, but is this something that's actually going to happen? Are these shadows? You know, like what is it? What's going to happen? And the Christmas Present tells him, well, the child will die. That's what's going to happen, unless, of course, the shadows are altered.
Hmm.
Yeah. So I think it's also fascinating here. I think it's around this time where Christmas Present calls him out on his own words, when he says something like, why does he have to die? And he said, well, he had better do it and do it quickly.
Oh, right.
Do you remember
yeah,
that?
Because Scrooge said that earlier in the...
he better die quickly, because he was talking about the people who were refusing work in workhouses, because I don't know if anybody knows about workhouses, but boy, they were horrible places mm-hmm. where people were thrown to just try to make a little bit of ends meet, you know, just, and then the jail, and it's funny because Scrooge says, well, I support both of the prison and the workhouses. Mm-hmm. But some people would rather die than go work in a workhouse. Well, then they'd better do it.
Right. Do it quickly.
Diminish the overpopulous is what he said. Yeah. And so the Christmas present kind of throws that back in his face. Well, Tiny Tim better do it too, huh?
Right.
And the shame. And he, at one point, like you see him when he's being brought up even at Fred's party. He wants to walk away, and you see, goes to Christmas present, pick him up and put him right back.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
his little doll.
Well, speaking of Fred's party, I love the toast. The toast to Scrooge is the biblical principle of living forgiveness. Mm. Because there's not a bad word spoken by Bob. Now, obviously, other parties there, you know, Bob is, or excuse me, Fred. Fred is kind of protecting mm-hmm. his uncle in yeah. that. And he makes this just... this toast that is, he's been basically spat in the face many a times by the negative attitude of Scrooge. And yet here he is on a day where he was hoping that yeah. his uncle would come, and he's making this toast of just incredible nice words. And he doesn't say any ill will, anything to the party. Because, you know, when you're in mixed company, you know, you might say, well, let's give a toast to Scrooge, even though, and he didn't go there.
Kissing up to the boss or something like that. Everybody. And then behind the boss's back, everybody's right. saying
yeah.
what they say.
Yeah, exactly. And he didn't go yeah. there at all. So I love that. So I really, the next note I have is the ghost, the funeral carriage, actually. So this is okay. a little bit later.
So we got to keep yeah. with oh, the Christmas.
Yeah, you have the ghost of Christmas present
out.
There.
Like, I think she's way prettier than the candle. The candle was creepy.
That's
she was supposed yeah. to be ghost.
By the way,
Christmas.
If you're listening to this and not watching, we have Christmas ornaments, little dolls.
This one, I mean,
that one's a lot like the movie.
I think he looks a little bit like him. But he's smiling, and I don't know that Prezzen ever smiled. He just laughed with his face like that. It was just like that. But there are the children that reside underneath his coat.
Oh yes,
and. Oh, my word. I remember watching. It was an old Christmas Carol, black and white. And when they would use the best movie soundtracks back in those days, because the music was either all the way so sweet and perfect and carry, or it's all the way super scary. Mm-hmm. And so I remember when he parted his robes in the old black and white, and it's like, dun-dun!
Uh-huh.
And then there's these two kids under there. And do those children belong to you? And the Ghost of Christmas Present, it's just this incredible symbolic moment. We have the metaphor of two children that we potentially could be raising in our own lives. These are the children of man. Be careful that you do not nurture them. One is ignorance, mm-hmm. and the other is want. And I think Scrooge has nurtured both of them. Mm. And then you see this moment where these children are growing in front of Scrooge and are both like, it's like a tango, this weird dance with Scrooge, because he has grown them
yeah.
in his life. He took the coins off Marley's eyes, for crying out loud.
Right.
There is want. Yeah. He's decided to forget that he has left behind the woman of his dreams and literally put to death a love that could have been. That's ignorance. You know, it's sad, but it's also, I mean, I think all throughout this, I hope that God will continue to be able to use the story of A Christmas Carol to remind each of us, no matter what stage of life, you always think of Scrooge as this old miser. We all have this inside of us.
Yeah.
But we need to take account of our past. Where are we presently? Because we want our future to be a place that's bright and filled with life and that will continue, hopefully, to draw people to the Lord, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you get to this guy here. This is the Ghost of Christmas
he's
Future. He's death. He's
poofy.
He's plump here. Yeah. look at that. A lot of cornbread dressing here.
Oh my goodness. And so
this is death, right?
And he does have two arms. Just one of them's behind his back.
Oh, yeah.
He's very polite manner. He's like he's going to bow.
It's like he's a waiter. He's got the dinner menu here, but it's the headstone.
The special, yeah. The skull and crossbones.
Okay,
tonight.
If we haven't convinced you to watch this podcast, that it's right now, and you can text the word quiet to the number 893-893 for the YouTube link. So here comes the funeral carriage.
Yes.
And it is this moment where it reminds me, it brings on Hebrews 9:27, that just as each person is destined to die once, and after that comes judgment. Now, what I'm going to go to is this heart change that we'll go to in a second, because I mean, that's key with faith, that just because Scrooge wakes up and does nice things doesn't mean that his heart has changed. His heart changed caused all that. Mm-hmm. And so we're reminded in all that he's done, he has this one life to live, and then comes judgment. And clearly Marley has made it very clear that judgment is not going to be kind to somebody like him. And so we don't, as Christians, we don't try to do more just to be good enough, because we can never make up for all of the things that we've done as we assess our past and even our present. And so it's clear that as we move forward, Scrooge is a completely different person. Mm-hmm. He has a completely changed heart. And that, to me, is the symbolism that he has been changed by something bigger than him.
Yeah, and something he says at the beginning, and I think most of us, when I think about things presently, I'm pretty aware of things that are happening presently. Clearly, we're aware of what things have happened in our past. Mm-hmm. So we have some semblance of control on how we choose to navigate those waters in terms of remembering things, what we choose to fondly remember, what we choose to put away in a box and maybe be in denial about, whatever it is. Presently, having our priorities, being able to, all right, we know we're going to do this today. I'm pretty healthy right now. But the future is the thing that clearly you have no control over what's going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah.
You have no control over what's going to happen in the next couple of minutes. And that's why he's so freaked out about it. And I don't think he's thought about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think this whole night he's thinking about it. Now he's like, oh my gosh.
He's felt in control until this moment.
Yes.
I felt in control in his life. I mean, for years.
And he's got this sinking feeling. He already knows, you know, all throughout. It's like, well, who was the person lying there on the bed with the bed sheet over it? Well, of course, you know it's him. Yeah, but come on. His own maid has stolen his curtains.
Right.
His bedroom blankets. And he's sitting there in the movie, he's shrunken and he's like, you're fired. You're fired. Okay, so his own maid has admitted to stealing all this stuff, and he's still, like, in denial about dying. spirit, who was it?
Yeah.
And then, of course, Tiny Tim's death is another one of those things. I think we can't ignore that it's not just a selfish, what about me dying? Mm. He's still feeling the concern and the weight of, what about this precious child?
Yeah. So he basically has this conversion.
Yeah.
When he wakes up.
Yes.
And he is so happy. You know, I will never forget taking my last math class in college. I got to do the dual credit thing, and I got to take my last class ever in math, my senior year of high school. And I will never forget walking out of there knowing with what I was going to major in and what I was going to do, I'm done. And it was just this weight that was gone. And times that by a billion, and here's Scrooge. Mm-hmm. And the weight of him having this second chance, and that he's not going to be encumbered by the death that he knows he'll die eventually, but he's not going to be encumbered by all that he's seen. And this is how we should be, because we've escaped death by the good news given to us, that we were deserving and we were showed how wicked that we were. Mm-hmm. But when you accept Jesus and you trust in him, this weight is gone and you can live free.
And he did. And you saw him blessing the people who had once before asked for money.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's blessing because he realizes the work that they do is far beyond anything he's ever done.
Well, and if you notice in this movie, he says, make back payments.
Yes.
And to me, I made a note, That's the Zacchaeus story.
Like, I'm going to pay it forward even more than what I took from them.
That's a changed heart.
That's a changed heart.
That's then actions flow from that.
So when he sees a thing to bless and call it good, you see Ebenezer Scrooge doing that now. I'm going to take every advantage to call the things good that I see good. And then I feel like there's this gracious response, too, even to people who are resistant to this change. And I wrote this down because I thought this was fascinating. If you saw a person like Ebenezer Scrooge change, and we see that his housemaid is a miserable, haggish-looking lady. Okay? She's
a cartoon. We can say it.
Maybe that's why she got along with Scrooge so well, because she was just like him.
Yeah.
She was just there for the pay and keeping up and done. But she saw him and thought he was a madman.
Mm-hmm.
When everybody else encountered Scrooge, that was of a sweet spiritual nature. There was an acceptance. It's like they saw, what did I write down? When you experience change, those who do not recognize the spirit will not welcome it.
Mm.
And she didn't recognize Ebenezer Scrooge's new spirit.
Yeah, that's
but
good.
But those who did, so the—
They were surprised.
But they were super excited that he was all, what's going on? This is amazing. So he was able to bless and he was able to encourage and he was, even when the people didn't receive it well, he still blessed her. He still had Merry Christmas. And it's just this beautiful redemption story that is for there is a play called Everyman.
Mm-hmm.
Scrooge is every man.
Yeah.
He's every man slash woman.
I love on just for our sake, if you're a changed person in Jesus, how that should affect every aspect of our life. Mm-hmm. And his heart is changed so much that his pocketbook is affected. So not only do we see, the prized turkey, we see it all, the charity thing, all of that. And it reminds me of that story of General Sam Houston, mm-hmm. who Houston, Texas was named after.
Yeah.
And he was a crotchety old war general. And then he had a conversion. He knew who Jesus was. And then all of a sudden he became this big philanthropist. And people who really didn't know maybe all of his story, they said, hey, what's the deal? You're giving a lot of money now. And he said the words, when I got baptized, my wallet went down with me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hold it up out of the water.
That's awesome.
And it's just great thing.
Yeah.
All aspects should be changed towards the gospel.
Yeah.
And that's obviously Scrooge at the end of this.
Yes.
And then I guess two things involving Bob Cratchit. When he gave to Bob Cratchit in secret, sending the prize turkey over there. Don't let the left hand know what the right hand is doing. So I love that. But then ultimately, the last thing is that when he gives Bob a raise, it's a good reminder to never stop praying for that bitter, harsh person that you're hoping will come around.
Yes. And there was one other takeaway, I think, from the meal that he has with his nephew.
Mm-hmm.
He makes future commitments.
Mm.
So that today's a good day, but what's going to happen tomorrow? No, he promised at that meal, next year, we're going to have Christmas at my house. And again, with the wallet, I will spare no expense.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and then you see just as the credits start to roll that he has Tiny Tim on his shoulder.
Yeah.
And it's Bob, I think, that's wrapping up kind of the story. And his reputation changes. Because then he talks about for years to come, he was known as the kindest or whatever the words are. And it's like, if you meet, sometimes you meet somebody that's so changed and it's been decades and you would have never even known.
Who is that?
That they were like that in the past.
They almost physically look like they've changed.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's not bent over like this anymore and to himself.
Yeah.
He's more open with his arms like this, and children are going to run to him now.
I love that.
And they got such a kick out of him holding onto the back of that carriage when he's in his slippers and his robe in the snow, kind of reminiscent of what we just seen with Bob Cratchit.
Sure.
Being loved by the kids. But before, he was the one that everybody's walking away from. But the story of Scrooge, it's one of those things where I think the more you delve into it, especially like we did today, you love him.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that it also softens my heart for those in my life that I don't want to give grace to in the moment. The people that make me mad or have offended me or just, I don't know.
Yeah.
They feel a bit ridiculous. But I don't know what their experience has been.
Sure.
Doesn't mean I should let people off the hook in terms of, like, if there's a boundary I need to set.
Right, right.
Or if there's accountability to be had there if you're in an authoritarian roll over somebody who's acting like this, but
I think one element of forgiving our enemies is this: we should still always hope that they change, or that they come to repentance, or that they find Jesus for the first time, or whatever that looks like. It doesn't matter even if I've been really hurt, backstabbed, anything, you name anything, even though I may need to separate from this person. There's that element as Christians that we should always have that hope for them.
And it was born 2,000 plus years ago.
There you go.
A Christmas Carol.
So A Christmas Carol, also Scrooge, A Christmas Carol, the podcast. It's available. Maybe you're interested in watching this movie now. We're going to do three more movies over the next 3 weeks of breaking down finding Jesus and biblical principles in these Christmas movies. And I don't remember what's next. What is the next movie we're doing?
Do we just want to choose right now?
What's even on the list? I totally forgot.
Well, we could do A Christmas Story.
Whoa, yeah, I forgot we're doing A Christmas Story
and
this year.
And you're going to be like, the shoot your eye out, kid?
I'm sorry, where am I finding Jesus in the leg lamp?
Listen. Trust me, if we can find it in National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Yes, we did that in previous years.
We can do this together, and it may be a whole thing about what you shouldn't do.
Yes, like, that's fine, but we'll find it.
Finding the anti-Jesus in these.
All right, thank you. This is the Anything But Quiet Time podcast.